Welcome to the Totally Transformed podcast. My name is Lance Borden, and I'm here with my mom, psychologist and Christian author, Dr. Connie Borden. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you for those accolades.
You're welcome. That's really sweet. Today, we wanted to talk about pushing outside of our little worlds, And we don't mean that as an insult that your world is somehow little. We're kind of referring to all of our worlds. Sometimes people call it a bubble, you know, pushing outside of your bubble. The bubble being our day-to-day, our jobs, our tasks, you know, taking out the trash, going to work, you know, even our family relationships. What is it that God's calling us to do outside of that? And I want to say that with the caveat of, and I know you'll agree with this, especially our marriages, if you're married, and our children should be priority.
Yes.
First and foremost, 100%. We should be taking care of those, stewarding those relationships, because God's given us to them to do well with. And it has such an impact on our quality of life going forward and ongoing.
But wait a minute, I just want to add to that. In fact, I would say if you are trying to push outside of that and that is not being taken care of.
Great point.
You are, which a lot of people do.
Right.
They get caught up with a calling and a ministry,
yep.
You know, and being seen by people, and they don't feel like the more, if you want to call them mundane, that's kind of a negative word for taking care of your family. But like you said, the everyday stuff, that's just in your little world. And so nobody sees it. Nobody knows it except you and your family, except the benefits that are coming now, but for sure a lot later.
Yeah.
And if you push outside of that bubble continually and don't do that first, there is a priority that I have in my book, Save But Not Free, that you can get at savebutnotfree.com, that says it's first your relationship with God, then your family, then friends and potentially the church,
right,
and then the world. And I really believe in that priority order.
Right. So we're saying that once you, assuming that you are stewarding those and taking care of those and seeking the very best in those relationships, because those will not always be perfect. We're not saying all those things need to be perfect.
Right.
They just need to be prioritized and addressed, right? And we want those to be healthy because they affect so much else. Then how do we push outside of that? How do we seek the Lord for his will, for his calling outside of that? Because Jesus said, go into the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right?
Yes.
Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What are we doing to address and obey that command? And you might say, you might put it another way. You might say, what are we doing to minister to others? You know, whether that be on our street, on our block, or in our city or beyond, you know, as some of us, Jesus said, pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest, right?
Yeah.
The harvest is ripe. Pray the Lord sends laborers forth. Some of us are called to be those laborers to actually go. Other of us are called to maybe support those laborers, but I think we're all called to some aspect of ministry outside of just our world that lives inside of the four walls of our home. Do you agree with that?
Yes. And I think what you're talking about largely is an awareness that there's needs outside of our quote unquote bubble, and not getting so involved with our own bubble that we forget that there's needs out there. But at the same time, back to your point, spending time with your children is usually caught, not taught. So you really need to make, again, that a priority, and everything's relative, depending on like how many children you have, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one child, and depending how old they are, or two, they get independent. But still, I believe, and I'm going to write this in a book, I think someday, that you need to convey to your child, no matter what you're involved in outside of your family, if it needed to be let go of for their needs or something, that they are first.
Yeah.
You know, I think that needs to be conveyed. So you need to have a loose hold somewhat on that ministry outside of that. And you need to have it it doesn't need to have you. Yeah. Agreed with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the question in my mind that I don't know if I have an answer to is, if you had a great marriage and great relationships with your kids and you brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and you did no ministry outside of that, would that be a failure, or would that be a disobedience in any way to the great commission, the calling of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Or is that a misnomer? Maybe the answer is, and this just, this came to me as I was formulating that question. Maybe you can't effectively manage and grow and pour into those relationships unless you're effectively obeying the Great Commission and incorporating that into your day-to-day. In other words, showing your children how to be unselfish, how to give to the poor, how to feed the homeless, how to witness to your neighbor is part of that healthy upbringing and development of your primary relationships.
Well, I think you live in a great time in history, because between my time or about my time when you were being raised and the time you're raising your children, we have a great focus on the family. And of course, that's a radio show and a show by Dobson, who's written several books. And I think the pendulum was way over here.
Like, which way?
To the left of, we need to be in a ministry outside of our family.
Right. Jesus, others, you.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And then the pendulum came maybe way to the right, where people got the right idea or the fix to that we are going to focus on our family. And so then obviously what we're talking about, as always, is a balance.
A healthy balance.
A healthy balance, that you're focused on your family, their needs are met, depending on the number. And then you have this awareness of your calling, which usually revolves, I think, around a passion. You know, that passion can come from an experience, like it came from an experience in my life, like of being abused as a child and having my parents involved in ministry to the point that their marriage and the family fell apart.
Right. You were neglected.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And so that wounding that came out of that developed a whole pursuit of healing for me, and then developed a ministry. It became a passion that was confirmed because, you know, I have a favorite verse in Isaiah 61, 1-4, which talks out about healing the brokenhearted. Your dad got it in Luke 4, rather, 17 and 18, which says Jesus stood up in the temple fulfilling Isaiah 61, 1-4, and said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound. Then we had a prophecy over us back in the 70s. And then there was a lot of development after that. So you can have a calling. The timing of when that takes place may not be adjacent or in conjunction with that prophecy or those scriptures or that timing, because it takes, I personally feel like, for example, I have a new client. He has a call to evangelism. He's being trained to do street ministry. He's about our age, late 60s. He is. But he called me because he's heard me on the radio, and he's had such wounding from his past. He knows that if he goes out there in ministry, he'll be triggerable. He will be vulnerable to the enemy because he's not whole.
Yeah.
So he's coming in to fix himself with the Lord through therapy.
Wow, if we all did that, ministry would be so much more healthy.
Absolutely, because so many people get in the ministry and they can't handle it. You know, they can't handle the fame, the money, time. Again, they get away from the Lord, their family, whatever. So I don't know. I'm really, you know, stuck on wholeness, but yet I'm not saying we all have to be perfect to be ministering outside of our families.
Yeah. I think what the Lord is present day dealing with me about is, am I not to the detriment at all of my priorities, right? And priorities need to be in place and we don't want those to change, but
yeah.
Are we, you know, and this is, I think, a question that we should all ask ourselves, are we being intentional, proactive about sharing the gospel, witnessing and meeting the needs of the poor and needy? You know, uh-huh. I'm always convicted by the story of the sheep and the goats. And you visited me when I was in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked, all that stuff. And, you know, I just want to always be looking in that mirror appropriately and effectively to make sure that, you know, that I am being obedient in those ways to minister to Christ by ministering to others.
And true religion.
And true religion,
is
right?
The orphans and the widows, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it unto me.
Right. And it doesn't earn my salvation, right? We don't want to get confused there. That is a way to earn salvation.
Right.
But I do want to be obedient. And so to your point a few minutes ago, I guess it's seeking the Lord to know what he's saying and what he's leading us to do, no more, no less, right? No more than he's asking us to do, no less than he's asking us to do, and therefore intentionally listening and asking him, Lord, is there something else you want me to be doing, or how do you want me to handle this idea of sharing the gospel, you know, with my friends and neighbors? Am I doing it effectively? Am I being bold for you, you know? And all the while keeping an eye on making sure that we're not doing it in detriment to, or that it's not detrimental to our priorities.
A couple other thoughts too is, remember, when you build your family, you're building the generations. The righteousness is being visited unto 1,000 generations. So sometimes we don't see the world effect or the out of the bubble effect of building our children, but who knows what one of your four or all four of your children are going to do. You and Julie already have my fruit and Dad's fruit and direct fruit, because you helped us build the practice. You helped us build Totally Transformed Ministries. You started the ministry with us. And so in my understanding, you don't do anything alone. So we may be the direct ones, you know, that was basically our calling. Although I remember I was part of a prophecy at church where you had Isaiah 61 said over you. Do you remember that? They prophesied over you. So all that, you can't forget all that. You can't forget all your service in the church. You guys have been in service in the church from Jump Street, like with women's leadership and deaconship and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. And that's all great. And thank God that he's allowed us to do that. And I know a lot of people that are listening are similarly involved in ministries and in their churches and maybe have ministries of their own. But I also would want to be careful not to sort of rest on that as our laurel, right?
No, as it were,
rest on our laurels and say, oh, I did all this stuff, I'm done. I don't need to do any more, right? So to your point is, make sure you don't discount those things. And I think my point is, I want to make sure that I'm being obedient going forward, right? And asking the question of the Lord. I don't think I can ever go wrong. I don't think any of us can ever go wrong by just always asking the Lord the question and making sure, Lord, what are you saying? How are you leading us? What do you want us to do next, so to speak?
But I do want to say a strategy of the enemy. Here's a strategy of the enemy. You're never doing enough.
Yeah.
He says that to us. You're never doing enough. And the Bible says the poor will always be with you. We tend to interpret that as the poor monetarily, but that can be the poor in spirit. That could be the poor in religious understanding, poor that aren't saved. So we can't be saviors of the world. The Lord dealt with me about that one time, because if you take on that mentality, you will run yourself ragged. So we're talking again about a balance. We're talking about the enemy not driving you to feel bad that you should be doing more when your hands are full, balanced with, I'm so in cloistered with my family that I never asked, like you just said.
Yeah. And it's also combined with, you know, I look at the American, you know, lifestyle, right?
Yes.
We're it's easy for us to pull into our driveway, shut the garage door behind us,
yes,
and, you know, ignore the world around us, right?
Yes.
So just trying to be aware of the needs that may be right around us that God's placed us next to, and being sensitive to that. And probably if we can maintain that posture and that posture of listening, then we'll be in a good place.
And isn't it usually in your back door, potentially? I mean, sometimes we think of it, and I don't know if you're talking about, or you want to talk about establishing, quote unquote, a ministry, if God's laying that on your heart, or just being a minister 24/7, like you're saying to your neighbors at work, just having that evangelistic, people need to be saved, they need to be prayed for, they need to be enlightened to what makes your life blessed mm-hmm. and obedient.
Yeah.
Which I think, to me, that's kind of what you're talking about too, because there's so, like you said, many that go in and shut the door, maybe because they feel overwhelmed. They feel overwhelmed. They need to work that out. What is not organized in their life? Are their finances out of order? Are their priorities out of order? Whatever. But I think that balance of like asking, but not pushing the doors, not pushing the doors open, but asking.
Right.
Because if the Lord wants you to do more, or he wants you to do more specific ministry, he's going to make it crystal, isn't he?
Yeah, he should, if we're asking and listening.
If we're asking and listening, and then also in conjunction with what you love. Mm-hmm. I think the passion is important.
Yeah.
Because where there's passion, there's usually effect.
Right.
And anointing. So that passion can come out of many things. Like your grandmother, Bill's, your dad's mom, mm-hmm. Grandma Borden, she always had a passion for to go to Japan or for that culture, and eventually went. She had that calling all of her life, and there was lots of circumstances that didn't have it come about, but they kept waiting and waiting. She didn't go until she was about 50, I believe, and then spent several years traveling around the world and taking in Bibles and speaking about her experience. So, but it came from, but then they went to a evangelistic or missionary focused Bible school in San Antonio, because if you're going to do something, I don't know, ask this, let me ask you this question. If you're going to do something full time in ministry, at some point there probably has to be some training. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you can be trained to OJT, a lot of service, but like at one point I had to answer the call to get the degree in being a psychologist, which took several years out of my middle life. But I'm so glad I did, because it just enhanced or bolstered or put a foundation to understanding, to healing the brokenhearted and setting at liberty those that are bound.
Right.
So what do you think about that? Do you think that if you're going to do a ministry, that that means you should be asking, Lord, do I need more training, when you have been really equipped? Today, you're equipped really well in the church with mm-hmm. foundational things and classes. And if you go to church regularly, or do you think that takes an outside question? Do you want more training in my life? And of course, that would have to fit in everything we're saying.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I think that if you hear the calling of God on your life for full-time ministry, whether that be to be, you know, a pastor or a missionary, that you do need to pursue some sort of training to do that, whether it be going to seminary or going to a mission school. You know, I think that you can't just, I think it'd be foolish to just strike out without any training or help, right? But that all begins with knowing what the Lord is saying and knowing that he's calling you to that, so that you can go forward in that, count the cost and get it done, as opposed to, you know, starting it and then maybe not finishing it because, you know, you weren't sure it was God's calling, or you didn't have the heart to stick it out because it was maybe your idea instead of God's idea.
I think a misnomer, though, is if you don't start that training like straight out of high school or college or in there somewhere, that you can't do this full time. And what I'm saying is, in today's society, you may come up with something that you would do that training maybe after you raised your family later in life, or if you felt like you needed it. But then the other thing that's evident in our society is leaders and pastors are raised up through the church, through service.
Right.
They're not required to go to seminary. They're not required to have any kind of training or degree. Mm-hmm. That bothers me a little bit. I get that. You know, because, you know, you can get OJT and people can put a value on your service and on your character by knowing you for several years in the church. But then I think I've seen that happen where, again, add to your faith, character, your character knowledge, your knowledge, self-control, all those virtues that training maybe would have brought or brought out, that person isn't strong enough, whole enough. And then they get into that pastoral role and a bunch of people fall with them because they have a morality issue of some sort.
Yeah.
So it's a tough question today.
It's a tough question. I'm not sure there's a cookie cutter answer for it because I think the Lord can call people from all different places and he can call people to go to school or he can call them to minister, maybe like you're saying, coming up through the church.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you can say one way or the other is definite 100%. For everyone all the time.
No.
But I think what we can say is it's important to hear the Lord and what he's
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely. And have confirmation
right.
by your spirit, confirmation by quality people, mature people. Because like my own parents, again, they had a prophecy that they were supposed to go to Bible school. They went to Bible school when they had three children, had a fourth one after they started the church. I don't know whether that prophecy was accurate. Sometimes prophecies can be, and sometimes they're not. But they followed it, and they kind of gave up everything and put their family last, farmed them out to different places, and had a lot of need
right.
from their own wounding and their own lack of character. So then it was a disaster. And I'm not saying that. I mean, my mother was ordained at 50, excuse me, in 1950. Being a Bible school graduate, I feel like her impact and her anointing definitely had an impact on me. And so that's what I mean about the next generations and impact on you and your kids.
Right.
So it's never done, but we for sure don't want to get ahead of the Lord and be out there if you don't feel like you know where you came from, who you are, and where you're going, whatever that entails. Right.
Right. Right.
For that particular person. Yeah.
And that's where an imbalance can come in is when we think to ourselves, okay, but I just gotta go do something.
Yes.
And so we may strike out errantly.
Right.
And make, and put ourselves out there ahead of the Lord.
Right.
And then we get into trouble. And so back to, you know, not doing this out of a works mentality, not doing it to earn our salvation. You know, I think of the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha just had to do when Jesus was there instead of spending time with him like Mary did. And Jesus said, Mary made the better choice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it again goes back to the balance. It goes back to, you know, to put it all into a nutshell, I think seeking the Lord and at least having the intentionality to say, Lord, what do you want me to be doing outside the bubble of my four walls? Maybe right now that's nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe right now that's ministering to my spouse or ministering to my children.
And being at peace about that.
And getting that healthy. And then maybe a few years down the road, you minister out of that process that you went through to others. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a home group someday that talks about marriages because you took the time to make sure your marriage was healthy.
Yes.
And then you're able to minister out of that strength.
Yes.
So,
because so much of what I minister to people that are in trouble comes out of my experience, though I have a lot of training, it comes out of my experience and my passion of what God did in and through me. And so that's another question. But the other thing I want to ask you is oftentimes the pastoral or the leadership roles are the primary funding for the family family. And that's where comes some issues because you're working for a church to support your family and maybe feel like you can't leave that ministry or you have to stay in it when you're maybe burnt out or you've got some problems. And I don't know what the answer is to that either. I think if you're really called to be a pastor or one of those leaders that what God authorizes, he supports. So it still goes back to the spending the time with the Lord, the confirmation, making sure you're healthy, even if you're in a full-time thing. But I like what you're saying. I think the premise of this radio show is are you asking?
Right.
And it doesn't have to be 24/7. Are you just saying in your quiet time to the Lord, Lord, is there something I'm missing?
Right.
Is there something else you want to do? And then being confident that if you ask for wisdom, according to James 1, he'll give you liberally.
Right.
And he'll show you and then be excellent at what you're doing.
Right.
Which is a big thing to do.
Yeah.
To look at the quality of you're putting in your job, you're putting in your family, primary, extended, your neighbors or your church and service if you're doing there. You know, I kind of look at church right now as a feeding place where, because I'm giving out during the week, and what I do as a licensed Christian psychologist, I kind of go there to be filled back up, you know, with worship and the word.
Right.
And building me up. So that's important for me right now, rather than serving there, which we did for the first 35 years of our life, you know. Yeah. So,
well, I think that posture that we're describing is summarized in 2 Chronicles 16:9, or it's addressed. And then that verse says in the first half of it, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Hmm. And I think that's what we're describing, if we could just end with that.
Yeah.
That we're describing and wanting to exhort ourselves and our friends that are listening, that have a heart fully turned towards the Lord. Have a heart that's seeking him, asking him for guidance, direction, and what he would have us to do to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And all the while realizing that the most significant or maybe a prioritized part of that is making sure that our primary relationships are healthy and that we are healthy on the inside as well, seeking what we need to from the Lord while we're asking him what he would have us to do for the ministry.
Because just last comment to piggyback on your last comment, new level, new devil is what Joyce Meyer says. And all that means is that as you expand out to more people and more influence, the enemy's going to be more aware to attack you, because he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you need that preparation, at least in a calling, know in the darkness what God told you in the light, in confirmation, in preparation, whichever way that comes to you, so that when you meet the enemy who's trying to take you out of your effectiveness, even if you're effective, that you recognize it, that you understand spiritual warfare, you understand why you're being attacked, you know. And all those things go into it also. But I guess I want to say, if you're in trouble personally or in your marriage or with your kids, draw back.
Yeah.
Draw into the Lord.
Right.
Because those are your true disciples and your first priority. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't just keep going so somebody can define you as somebody that's doing ministry.
Yeah, that's good. And I think what we'll do is next time we get together, that'll be the topic of our next podcast. You know, that idea of how to prepare with spiritual warfare for whatever it is God's calling us
that's
to
good.
Do. And
every day.
Yeah, and every day, right?
Yeah.
So, let's pray and close us in prayer. And if you'll join us, right now, to maybe the Lord is pressing something upon your heart, whether it be focusing in on a relationship or something that maybe he's calling you to do outside of that. And let's ask the Lord to guide us and lead us in that. So Lord, we just come to you today, Lord, in agreement with our friends that are listening to the sound of our voice. We just agree with them and collectively say to you, Lord, what would you have us to focus on?
Yes.
Show us, make it clear. Lord, we want to be in balance. We want to be obedient to you to take care of our priorities. And we want to be obedient to the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Lord. So show us how to do that well. Speak to us with confirmation for the things that you're calling us to. And give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding we need to address the areas in our lives and in our relationships that you need us and want us to address for our own health and the health of those immediately around us. And God, we just thank you that we can come to you and you have all the resources that we could ever need in your word and in time with you and by listening, being still and knowing that you are God. So we take the time to do that now and we commit to doing that going forward in our lives, so that we can just be in front of you and have a heart that's turned towards you.
You know, Lance, I had a thought as you were praying, and I was studying this earlier, that asking God what he would like you to do, it's not just about that. It's knowing God in your prayer time, like you said, be still. And so as you're knowing God, I'm kind of thinking it's a natural outworking of knowing what he wants you to do, but not that you shouldn't ask. Also, I felt impressed because this podcast goes all over the world. I just bind any interference with the gospel going forth across the world because of COVID. This has been an attack on the world, on the United States, which is the most evangelistic country as far as sending out missionaries to other countries. Sometimes it's been stopped completely. Churches have been closed. We just agree with you, our listening audience, that that strategy of the enemy will not prevail, that that will be lifted and broken, and the churches in the United States will be stronger than ever, and everybody will get to go back to what they've been called to or seek what they've been called to, and that won't affect the cry of God's heart, which is that none would perish and fall short of the glory of God, and every eye will see and every ear will hear about the gospel before the tribulation or the rapture. And we pray that, Lord, with this listening audience, we agree for that, that you'll have your perfect will and way across this world for your purposes, as it has been particularly stopped through the pandemic. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Totally Transformed podcast. Come back next time when we will talk again about seeking the Lord and knowing Him and having Him in our lives in every possible way, so that He can shape our future and we can grow in Him. Thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you next time.